Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator for Orange County, New York Paranormal, and thank you for joining us today on the Paranormal Podcast. If you are new to the festivities, welcome. Please subscribe, rate, and review. If you're coming back to us, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It's good to see more and more folks listening to the podcast every week, which is good. You know, we're all about relatable paranormal conversation for everyone. So we naturally want everyone to listen to it. So please, we are available on every major podcast platform. As I said, subscribe, rate, and review. There is also a video version of this podcast on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page as well. They both come out every other Wednesday, and we're happy to have everybody on board, both new and old, as we dive into today's topic, which is about trigger objects. If you've watched any paranormal television, you've seen trigger objects. You've seen investigators using all kinds of different items or and objects and sounds and everything imaginable to elicit a response from the spirit. So I wanted to talk about them today because, man, we've used a bunch of them and we have failed miserably using some of them. We've had some interesting success with some unlikely trigger objects, and we've had one really glowing example of a trigger object experiment that really worked. But before we get into that, let's talk about what a trigger object is. A trigger object doesn't necessarily have to be an object or an item. It can be a sound. It can be a movie. It can be a picture. It can be a paint. It can be anything that you feel as an investigator will help elicit a response. It's usually something that you feel will connect to the past lives of any of the spirits that happen to be in the location, or to something that the location once was in the past. Was it a hospital? Was it a prison? Was it a school? Was it a church? You know, and knowing that history, and we've talked about the research aspect of paranormal investigation being so important, it's when you're doing that research that you can start to formulate your plan of investigation. And a lot of that plan comes with what experiments you're going to do. And most of the experiments we do involve trigger objects. We're trying to elicit a response. We're trying to, you know, prime the pump, so to speak, where, you know what, the spirit may not come over to us, but again, the spirit might come over to us if we have something that was meaningful, if we're playing something meaningful, if we're talking about something meaningful. It's, again, dealing with the dead isn't that much different than dealing with the living. I'm way more likely to come over to you on a hot summer day if you're holding a glass of lemonade than if you're not. And that's kind of the idea. It's trying to elicit that spiritual activity by using something familiar or something that can have some kind of connection to the spirit. And there are just all kinds of trigger objects. There have been so many experiments that have been cataloged. As I said earlier, if you've watched a minute of paranormal television, you've probably seen a lot of experiments done with trigger objects. We've had an interesting experience using them because I really got to not like them very much early on, because as you're going to see when I talk about some of our failures when it came to trigger objects, they were mostly very early in our experience. And I guess it's not a failure, it's just a lack of it working. But we had, you know, when something doesn't work so many times in a row, when you first start something, you start to think, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But we kept at it, and we have had some successes. The obvious trigger object stuff, you know, has worked and hasn't worked. And sometimes the more obscure stuff that we never thought would work, worked. So it all comes down to understanding the experiment you want to run, picking the right object, and hopefully having all of that combine into the right place at the right time to get the spiritual activity that you're looking for. So as I said before, when we first set out as Orange County, New York Paranormal, we first struck out on our own. The first few investigations we did, we used a lot of trigger objects, and it had a lot to do with the fact that the locations that we went to just had obvious situations that would lend you to wanting to use trigger objects. The first investigation we actually did independently was at the Hotel Utica up in Utica, New York. And it wasn't like, you know, they closed the hotel. They don't do that for small investigators. And we just rented a room on the most haunted floor that people had said there was activity. We rented the room. We set up a couple of cameras. It's the only investigation that we've never really published. And it's because we didn't know what we were doing at all. And, you know, the in terms of footage, in terms of recording evidence, in terms of any of that. I did a video a few years ago talking about that investigation, but the thing with the Hotel Utica and why we felt we should use a trigger object was that building, I mean, it's now a DoubleTree, but back in the 20s and 30s, it was the Hotel Utica, the main hotel in that town. But it sat abandoned for many years. And during that time, it became a home to a lot of transients. There was alcohol, there was gambling, there was violence, there was a lot of stuff that the history books probably don't talk about or police reports don't file because a lot of it was probably unknown. So, and they do believe that's what led to a lot of the hauntings there. So we said, you know what? Let's bring some alcohol and let's bring some playing cards and see what we can find. And the alcohol as a trigger object, you'll see, became kind of a theme, and so did the alcohol as a theme not working become a theme. We tried to play cards, we poured the alcohol, we tried everything we could, and really just nothing happened. And that happens. Nothing happening is what happens all the time when you investigate. You know, 99% of the time, nothing is happening. And but I remember that first investigation, we were so excited. I think, again, because we had watched a lot of paranormal television, we thought, oh, yeah, something will happen. Something always happens. Well, something doesn't always happen. And, you know, but we continued to try, especially we went to some places early on that where alcohol was kind of the obvious trigger object. And the Hotel Broad Albin was another example of that. The Hotel Broad Albin, way back, was a hospital. It was a hospital for folks with alcoholism, and it was run by a doctor who had the cure for alcoholism. He was a quack, and it was a quack cure. And the place is notoriously haunted. So we went there, and we did the same thing we did at the Hotel Utica. We rented a room, and, you know, this time they actually knew we were there. Didn't really change anything about the investigation, but we rented the room. And once again, we tried alcohol because the spirits in that place were recovering alcoholics. And I know it seems kind of not nice to play to the weakness. But again, when you're trying to elicit spiritual activity and you're trying to get, you know, learn more about their story, you're trying to draw them to you. So we felt that putting, you know, a cup of beer on the table wasn't a terrible way to do that. And it is a good way to do it. And if we investigated there ever again, I would do it again as a trigger object because it should at some point elicit some kind of activity. And it didn't. We didn't have a lot of activity that night. Again, paranormal activity does not set itself to a clock. So sometimes you get lucky and a lot of stuff happens, and sometimes you don't and nothing happens. And we did capture a few interesting things that night, but none of it had anything to do with the alcohol as the trigger object. And the next, then right after that, we went back, we went to the Worcester Inn. The Worcester Inn, when it was opened, and especially the owner, Jim Bulow, God rest his soul, holds a very special place in our heart because that is the location and the place where everything kind of clicked. And they were the first actual location to take anything we were doing seriously. And that was all Jim. But again, because we formed that connection with Jim was telling us a story about a spirit named Dennis who resided at the Worcester Inn. And he was actually a friend of Jim's. And again, he was someone who enjoyed a drink or two. And Jim wanted to learn about, to know why Dennis was still here. He thought Dennis was still around, but he wanted to know for sure. And so at the bar, at the inn, nice thing about being able to do the whole location instead of just the room you rented is you can use the bar. So we went down to the bar and we poured a couple of drinks and tried to get Dennis to come and have a drink with me, and he never showed up to have a drink with me in terms of capturing any kind of evidence or having, you know, we had electromagnetic detectors all around the bar, so if any energy had come into that field, we would have been able to detect it. However, we did capture an EVP when I asked, what you drinking or what do you want to drink? Across the room, one of our cameras picked up an electronic voice phenomenon that said water, which was interesting. No idea if that was Dennis or not. But you could say that trigger object did help us get an EVP, even though it was just answering a question that had nothing to do with the actual trigger object. But when you use stuff like that, and those are three examples of three locations where alcohol made sense to be used as a trigger object, it didn't work, but that doesn't actually matter. You can't judge the success of a paranormal investigation on how much evidence you got. You know, it's not predictable like that. If there was a predictable outcome, if you just had to do the right thing in the right order to get good evidence, that's one thing. You can do everything right on a paranormal investigation and come away with nothing just because of the elusive nature and the inconsistent nature of paranormal activity, which I would love to understand that kind of timetable. But, you know, if we understood when spiritual activity happens and why it happens, I could write a book and retire. Nobody actually knows the answers to those questions. And it's pretty much and most of the reason why we keep coming back to try and find answers to questions like that. But when you use these kind of objects in these places, like the alcohol, the obvious trigger object, it will work someday. And if anyone tries alcohol in any of those three locations, I guarantee you it will work. But it just did not for us. Doesn't mean it won't work. Just means it didn't work for us that particular evening. And that being said, a lot of times when we investigate locations, we're obviously not the only people who've ever investigated them. It's fun to be the first group to investigate a place, but it's very, very rare that that happens. So there'll be groups that actually, when we're interviewing the staff and we're talking about the location, they'll tell us, hey, we had a group use this and they got a lot of really good responses from it. So we'll use it. Obviously, anything that has any kind of evidence or anything that has a track record of working, we're going to absolutely use. And there's been several instances where we've tried stuff that other groups have had success with, and it didn't work for whatever reason, whether it was us, whether the spirits weren't around that night, whatever it was. And the most prominent one that comes to mind is the Museum of Wayne County History. A fascinating location, and we've investigated there twice. We just did a video on it, of the investigation we did in January. We had an interview with Rhea Hayes a couple episodes ago, who worked there for about 2 years. But it was an instance where a couple of things that other groups have had success with, we just didn't. First of all, they have the actual, prison key from the 1800s that was used, and that should be one heck of a good trigger object. And I would run, bang it on the bars and scrape it on the bars back and forth and pretend to lock the cells with it. There was one or two cells that actually would lock. You'd lock the cells with it. And, I'm the warden now. You would think that would elicit a response. It really didn't. But it had for other groups. There was a female investigator who had an ingenious idea there. When the spirits in the prison cells weren't doing much, she said, well, if you talk to me, I'll give you $1, because the currency, the prison currency, of giving some money. And they actually did get some reaction from that. And true to her word, she put the dollar down. I bet, I thought about it later. I bet you a pack of cigarettes might do the same thing in some prison situations. That's a really good, ingenious use of a trigger object of saying, hey, here, I'll what do you value? Money, cigarettes, prisoner? Perfect. Let's use that to try and elicit some paranormal activity. And hats off to that investigator, because that was a really, really good idea. And the hat trick of Wayne County, there was also a lot of instances in the carriage house where rocks would be thrown from the displays at kids on field trips. And It wasn't the teachers, I'm sure of it, but at the same time they couldn't see who it was. So I was trying to get the spirits to throw some rocks at me. And we know there's paranormal activity up there because we've caught EVPs, intelligent EVPs, of them telling us, you know, we'll get them next time and let's get them to leave and all that. Three instances where the rock is a trigger object didn't work for us. The dollar for a trigger object did not work for us. The prison key as a trigger object did not work for us, but had worked for other groups. And the other one that comes to mind that worked for other groups that we may or may not have had success with is at Seneca Falls Historical Society with playing checkers on the stairs, where they have the checkerboards built into the stairs. And the Becker children, on their way up to bed every night, would sit there, and they would, as they went up, they would sit there and play checkers with each other. It was kind of how they got them to go upstairs. Well, those checkerboards are still built into the landings. And some groups that have investigated there have had a lot of success with getting the children to play checkers with them. We haven't yet, but we may have. We investigated there about a week ago, and I sat on that staircase and did about a two-hour experiment with those checkers and that area, and I just haven't reviewed the evidence yet. So that one may fall into the category of one that we tried that worked. Our previous two times there, however, it hasn't. But different trigger objects work for different investigators. I'm going to talk about some of the really cool responses we've gotten for trigger objects that have worked for us, and I'll bet you there are investigators who've tried it and got nothing, and we just happened to be fortunate enough that particular night to get exactly what we wanted out of using these trigger objects. If you've been listening to all of our episodes, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, subscribe, and you can download them all. They're all there. You'll learn pretty quickly that when you investigate the paranormal, most of the time nothing is happening. It's something that we talk about all the time. It's very, very real. But the next few instances with trigger objects are some of the successes that we've had. With trigger objects, some of them obvious, some of them less obvious, but different types of trigger objects that elicited a response that our equipment picked up, a response that you could see, that you could hear, and that you could feel in the room. Now, I can't convey how a room feels through a visual medium of a video, but when you're in there, you know, you feel it get charged up, and that's when you see things like light anomalies or orbs coming through the shot. That's the physical manifestation of energy. We usually can feel that. When it's going on, the room gets charged up, your hair on your arm stands up. It's a great feeling. You become somewhat addicted to it, actually, when you do what we do. But there's been some really good trigger object experiences. The first one is from Hyde Hall, where we volunteer and work with the staff to help them do their paranormal events and to help them investigate their own paranormal phenomenon. This is music. This is an auditory trigger object. The Clark family, who resided in Hyde Hall for many, many years, they were one of the richest families in the area for a very long time. So they had music. They had people performing in the house. They themselves most likely played music in the home. So as a result of that, music is a heck of a trigger object. And this location has the ability to use music as a trigger object unlike any other place we've ever gone, because the actual music that we use is from a CD that was recorded in the house itself. So this orchestra came in to the same room where the Clark family would listen to music and played classical music. So when we've done our investigations there, we bring that exact music back. And it's the house is a stone house, so it echoes off the walls, and you can hear it all over the place. And you can feel the place get charged up as you're playing it. And if you go back and watch our original documentary we made off our first volunteer experience with them, just every room had some kind of light anomaly or mist anomaly while we were playing this music. It charged up the whole house, and it set the tone for the entire investigation. We did it right away, and we know that that's what can start it. And even the staff even said, if you play music in here, the place feels different. They were completely 100% correct. I had a little handheld speaker. I turned it on with that music loaded. I walked around the entire house with that music playing, and it absolutely charged it. We got light anomaly evidence while I was doing it, but I firmly believe that if we had that, the evidence we got, and we got some amazing evidence that night, it all started by using that music as a trigger to set everything into motion, to get the house charged up, to get the spirit's attention. That's what trigger objects are supposed to do, and in the case of Hyde Hall, that's exactly what that music did do. So that's an instance of using music in a place that played music. It's the history of the location. In very rare occasions, you can actually use something that physically belonged to the exact spirit that you're trying to talk to. It's rare, but it does happen. And at Haunted Hillview Manor in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, that's exactly what we tried to do. There was an inmate there who loved to read his Bible, and he read it all the time, and he really loved it. He loved his Bible, and they have his actual Bible there. And we had heard that if you read that Bible, sometimes you can get a response from that spirit. And my mother was with us for that investigation. She sat down and she read it, and she read probably for about 15, 20 minutes, and she felt a connection to that spirit, which is kind of a neat feeling, and she really, really wanted to read that to him. And we captured several EVPs, including what I thought was a very relevant bless you from the spirit. We drew him toward us. We got him to want to talk to us by reading his physical Bible to him, something he loved in life, something he really likely isn't able to do in death, because that book, you know, he may be able to open it with his energy. We don't know that, but that is something that spirit cherished. So everybody won in that scenario. He got to listen to the Bible, which he cherished, and we've got to capture some really great evidence, which is something we always cherish. We furthered the narrative of that spirit. We told more of his story. We proved that that spirit was there, which is great. And in that situation, using his own personal property that they still have and they still care for, that trigger object was especially meaningful to that spirit, and as a result, meaningful to us, because it brought us closer to him. When it comes to children's spirits, it seems pretty obvious that you would use toys. And the last one I'm going to talk about, the most successful one we've ever had, has to do with that. That has more to do with the time of year. This has to do with an actual physical toy. And the Worcester Inn, going back to Worcester, we had heard reports that there is a small child on the second floor that likes to run up and down the hallways. And people have seen him, people have more heard him, but there's a child there. So we brought him a teddy bear that when we went to investigate there. We brought the teddy bear, you know what, again, with trigger objects, we don't know if they're going to work or not, but we brought the teddy bear, and that night, nothing happened. But we left the teddy bear there because we brought it for the spirit, so we're going to give it to him. And there was somebody, the daughter of one of the staff members there, actually would make sure that it stayed where it was, that it would be, that nothing would come up, you know, that it wouldn't get thrown away or that it wouldn't fall on the floor. Like, she did a really good job of keeping it where the spirit of the child could play with it. She felt a connection to that spirit, a very real connection. So the trigger object didn't work the first time, but when we went back, it was the focus of two really incredible pieces of evidence, the first being an EVP, and we moved the bear. My thought was, you know what? We've had the bear on the second floor. I'm curious as an experiment to see if the child will come up to the third floor to get the bear, or if he's stuck on the second floor. So we moved it. We told him we'll move it back when we were done, and we did. But we caught an EVP in the hallway of a kid's voice saying, "Where's my baby?" And we take the leap to think that that's the child talking about the teddy bear, because we did move it, and it was a child's voice. So I don't think it's too far of a leap to assume that that's what the child was talking about. More impressive than that even was the ovulus response later. An ovulus, if you don't know, is a phonetic generator. In theory, throws out a dictionary of words into the electromagnetic field. The spirit can pick the word that they want to do. And it very, very relevant responses we've gotten over the years. We've even gotten EVPs of the same word that has come up on the screen. We'll get a voice saying the same word. So it has proved its legitimacy to us. That night, when we brought the teddy bear back down to the second floor, we said, "Where do you want us to put it?" And through a series of three words, which was desk, under, and river, if I recall, it told us exactly where to put it. Because there was a school desk in that hallway, and right above it was a painting of a river. That is ridiculously specific. I do not believe it was a coincidence because of how ridiculously specific it was. And it's another example where, you know, that example, we the trigger object didn't work the first time, but we left it there. And return investigations are so important. I urge any groups out there or any budding paranormal investigators, don't just investigate a place once. Go back and follow up, because a lot of times you'll get better evidence the second time than the first time. In this situation, that's exactly what happened. Trigger object didn't work the first time. Worked like a charm the second time. And the final one I want to talk about in these unusual ways that trigger objects have worked is from the Seneca Falls Machines Building, which is an incredible location. It's a factory that looks like everybody was kind of just beamed away. Like, there were still Rolodexes on the desk. There were still files in the filing cabinet. Like, it was like a moment in time. It looked like a Star Trek episode or something where they beam down and everybody on the planet's gone, but all their stuff is still there. But it was a factory. And we brought in a recording of the ambient sounds of a factory working. And again, it's not music, but it's also an audio trigger. And we just thought we'd try it. I'm like, hey, you know what? It's a factory. Maybe the workers are still here. Let's bring in this sound of a factory working. And it worked. We got some evidence about one spirit was like how many hours he was working. And we caught some light anomalies. And, you know, it's a unconventional trigger object to use just the sound of people working. But walking around that factory, playing that and bringing it back to a time, you know, bringing our realm into the realm of the where the spirits are coming from. I would love to know how that sounded or how that would look to the spirit. But to us, we noticed an uptick in light anomalies. We caught a couple of EVP. And again, it was something that set the table for what the evidence we got during the night, because we usually start off when we have audio triggers. We start with them because we want to get the place going. And in that situation, that oddly enough, you wouldn't think, but that ambient factory noise really kickstarted that location that night. Just another example of another kind of a trigger you can use to get some kind of activity going in a location. So of all the investigations we've done and all the trigger objects we've tried, the one time it worked absolutely 100% the way we wanted it to work was at Grapevine Farms in Cobleskill, New York. The first time we investigated there, it was right before Christmas. So we decided to bring up some stuffed animals because we had heard there were spirits of children on the second floor. And we wanted to see if we could get them to take the presents or get them to interact with the presents or anything. You know, we set up all of our equipment, and this was before the three fails I talked about earlier were right before this investigation. So I didn't have a lot of faith that this was going to work. And man, did it work. We set out, it was a stuffed bear, like a stuffed dolly, and I think a stuffed rabbit or something that we brought. And I said to the spirits, I said, "Hey, we brought you some Christmas presents." And we had two cameras nearby. We had one far to the left and one far to the right, looking at different parts of the hallway. We use a lot of stationary cameras. Both cameras picked up the same EVP when I said, we brought you some presents. And that EVP was, can we have one? Doesn't get much more relevant than that, does it? When you're saying, hey, we brought you stuff, and their response is, can we have it? That is very, very relevant. And they were also very polite at the end, because I said, you know, these are yours. We're going to leave them here. They're yours to have. And the EVP we caught after that was, thanks. So, you know, Grapevine Farms has very polite children spirits who ask if they can have it and then thank you when you tell them they can. But that time, that was the only time that it went 100% exactly the way that it was planned to go. And but that's the paranormal. That's what happens when you investigate. You make plans, and most of the time it doesn't happen. But the one or two times, man, that it does, there's no feeling in the world like it. And regardless of what trigger object or trigger sound or whatever you're using, you have to keep trying to use it. Because, one, you know, you may fail 100 times, but that 101st time, it's worth it if you get the right kind of evidence and the right kind of experience and the right kind of interaction with the spirits, which is what we're all after. So I want to do a quick update on Orange County, New York Paranormal. What are we up to? We've been very busy lately. A lot of investigations. Got a lot of videos coming out. We publish everything, as always. And we just investigated, as I mentioned earlier, the Seneca Falls Historical Society. We were back there. It was thank them for having us back. It was great, as always. I talked about an experiment that we did. Stay tuned to see if that experiment worked. This last weekend, we did an investigation at the Clifton 5 Cinema. So by the time this airs and gets published, we will have done that investigation. That one I'm looking forward to going back to. I love theaters. I love investigating theaters. And they're a great group. They have their own in-house paranormal team, Clifton Paranormal, which will be featured in an interview in the next episode of the Paranormal Podcast. I find their journey fascinating, and I find them fascinating. So I wanted to bring, much like we brought Rhea Hayes' story to you, I want to bring the Clifton Paranormal story to you as well. I find them to be their journey to be very interesting, and them to be very interesting, and I hope you will too. So next episode of the Paranormal Podcast, we'll have another interview with the folks from Clifton Paranormal. So that'll be fun. Speaking of theaters, the Omen Theater video will probably be coming out soon. We finished the evidence review. We have to review that evidence with the owner, and then once we do that, we'll publish that, so keep your eyes open for that. Really cool investigation, really cool location, and we got some really interesting stuff from that investigation. So, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of investigations going on. It's great. This is what we love to do, and we're going to stay busy, and it's a good busy, though, right? It's always good to have investigations and new places to go and familiar places to go and people to see as we attempt to uncover more and more about the paranormal world, one investigation at a time. In fact, it's interesting that I end talking about Omen, because we used music as a trigger object at the Omen Theater as well. And spoiler alert, it did work. And so we used vaudeville music in a theater that used to play those kinds of shows many years ago, trying to elicit a response. And that's really it. When you investigate, you should always do anything you can to elicit that response. I mean, you should not provoke and you should not challenge the spirits. But using something that can help connect the spirit back to this realm is a very respectful way, both to the spirit and the location, to get evidence. Spirits are just like us, and the items and sounds and memories of their past will draw them to you. It makes us all, living or dead, just comfortable. It makes us feel normal. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Paranormal Podcast, and we will see you next time.